You're listening to Amud Bechazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We are starting from the two dots at the bottom of Gimel Amud Aleph. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, great. What's so nice about these dafim, I guess we'll just, we have some people have been learning for a while, some people who are just starting their life of learning, so I'll just mention a quick point about the dafim that look like this, right, where you have lately a lot of small dapim of Gemara and a lot of normal amounts of Rashi and then a lot of Tosos. So there are, what that indicates, first of all, is that sometimes there are certain things in the Gemara that are not easy to understand, that there are big questions on a lot of the things you'll see in the Gemara, even with Rashi, and Tosos is going to have to step in the way to try to clarify things. So it just lets you know that there's a lot beneath the surface, and there are certain things that, as we do like a quick run through of the Gemara, and we do Rashi's, and there, if there's like a strong question sitting out in your mind, you should be aware that it's likely that there is a Tosos that's going to address that. So as you go through the Gemara a few times to take a look at Tosos, we'll quote some Tosos. I think the Rav is also quoting Tosos once in a while. Sometimes it's going to be very critical, but just to mention that. If it's a daf with a lot of Tosfos, so that means that there are certain things in the Gemara, which according to Rashi's pshat, are going to be hard to understand on a superficial level. Now, another point is that with the short dafim, it's really easy to do chazara. Meaning, once you've got it, once you understand the flow, sometimes it takes two or three times learning it before you got it, but then it's so easy to run through it. To just, right, like in the first mission, it was very confusing at first, but after you know what it's talking about, to run through it, it takes a few minutes. So it's really a great opportunity when we have dafim like this to maximize our chazara. And when you maximize the chazara, then you go back and you go maximize the chazara with the Rashi's, then you go back and you'll see where Tosos is coming from. So hopefully by the time you get to Shabbos, meaning Shabbos, not the Masechta, but the day of the week, when you're doing your 2.5 blot review, you'll be able to really, it'll be understood and you'll understand where Tosos is coming from. Okay, so let's start from the two dots where the Rav left off. Boy mine Rebbe mi Rav mi Rebbe. So Rav asked Rebbe a question. Hateinu chaveiro ochlin umashkin votzien l'chutz mahu. If somebody loads up his friend, right, gives him a tuna like a burden, he loads him up with food and drink, and he sends him on his way. Right, he sees his friend. His friend is over for Shabbos. Why food and drink? Rashi just says, "Orcha de milsanakat davar." Right, the orcha milsanakat. It's just a normal thing that someone gives his friend food and drink. Davar tzarech leShabbos, v'derech b'nei adam leSasik b'hen b'Shabbos. That's the way people do on Shabbos, right? So you come over to my house for Shabbos. My house is a Rishus HaYachid, obviously. They're outside of the house. Let's assume it's a Rishus HaRabim. And so my friend comes over, and we have a beautiful Suda together, and I say, please, I insist, take some food. And I load him up, and I put, puts all kinds of goodies on him, and it's a bag of Ruggalach, and I'm loading up his back, it's on his body, maybe it's in his pockets. So now he's loaded up. So now here's the question, Mahu, what is the halacha? Akiras gufo kakiras chefetz mimkomo dami? Umechayev, is the Akira of his body, right? So now he's standing in the Rishus HaYachid in my house with all this stuff, and it doesn't have to be food, remember, and he's standing now when he gets up to go and he starts walking, is that considered him having uprooted his body and therefore all the stuff? Meaning, did he do the Akira now when he walks outside and then he puts it down anywhere? That is a Hanacha, and therefore he did the Akira and the Hanacha. And then, Mechayiv, Odilma, lo. Or maybe that's not the case. Right, Rashi says, Akira's Gufo, She'akaras Raglav Min Abayis La'acher, She'nitan. Right? So he's going to a different house. He's going out from the house that he was loaded up on. So what do we say? What's the halacha? Is that considered that he has done the not just the hanacha, but the akira as well? Just by he didn't pick anything up, but it was loaded and he walked. Is that considered an akira? So Amarle Rebbe responds to Rav Chayiv. He is Chayiv. That is indeed considered an akira. And he says, and before you try to challenge me, the eno dome liyado. says, I know what you're thinking. You're going to say, wait, why should be chayiv? Isn't this the same thing as the hand, right? A hand is the body. And we know, as we'll elaborate on the next amud, we know that when it comes to a hand, it's not so pashut that's being put in the hand. The hand moving is considered an akira, right? We know that if you put something in you pick up something and you put it in somebody else's hand and they just move their hand, that is in fact not an akira, right? That's right. If someone just put it in my hand, I didn't do the akira. Someone else did and gave it to me. So you might say, maybe it should be similar to the hand. So he says, the eino doma liado, preemptive strike to the question that Rav was about to ask. He says, the eino doma liado, it's not similar to his hand, in which case we would say that the moving of the hand is not considered an akira. My taima, why not? Gufo neach, yado lo neach. Because his body rests, and his hand does not rest, right? Meaning my body. So like Rashi will say, "Gufo neach al gabe karka v'havi akira," right? His body is on the ground. That is considered. I mean, it's not, I don't want to use the term hanacha because it'll be confusing. But essentially that, right? Meaning his body is resting on the ground. Therefore, when he lifts his body, he's doing an akira of his body, which is. Right, laden with food, he's doing akira from his body and moving it somewhere else. However, his yado, which is not neyach, which is not resting anywhere, it's kind of just hanging. So that is not going to be. So if his hands move, then it's going to be. Then you can't consider that an akira. Meaning an akira requires that it was resting at first. I'll give a hypothetical situation. Actually, it's great. It's perfect. There's a midrash in this week's parsha, right? So there's a midrash that says that in parsha's chukas that Moshe, right? It says that Moshe put the snake al hanes. He threw it up, put it on the banner. So the midrash Tanchuma darshins that he put it al hanes, like through a nes. That Moshe threw up the snake in the air. And then the snake stayed in the air. It was like suspended in midair. So if we use that example of the snake there, so it's not nayach. It's just hanging in midair. So there's no akira. There's no akira done because it's not resting. So the hands are essentially that. They're suspended. They're not nayach, and therefore they would. They're not the same as a body. Not considered as the guf, and. And therefore, you'd be chayiv, even if your hands would not be, that it would be an akira for the hands. Sorry, not an akira for hands. It is indeed an akira for the body. Okay, let's turn over. Amar le Rabbi Chiya le Rav. So Rav Chiya then spoke up and said to Rav. Right, Rav Chiya and Rav were both Tamidim of Rebbe. Bar Pachti, he says, right? Ben Gedolim, says Rashi, son of nobles. Lo amin alach ki koi Rebbe baha mesechta lo teshayle b'mesechta achrisi. Didn't I tell you already that when Rebbe is learning a particular mesechta, don't ask him about another mesechta, right? Dilma lava date, right? Because maybe his mind's not going to be on it properly. Di lav de Rebbe gav rabba hava, and if Rebbe were not such a great person, kasafte. He would be embarrassed. Demashni lach shinuya delav shinuyahu, because he would answer an answer that's not the answer. Hashda, but now mihas shapir mashni lach. He answered good, right? He's saying good. He answered correctly, and then he's going to support this point. He's going to explain why Rebbe thought he answered correctly. This is an interesting point. I didn't look into this more, but it is a fascinating point that Rav Chiya tells Rav, you don't ask Rebbe a different question that he's like not in the zone to answer. I've had this a number of times where I wanted to in yeshiva I wanted to ask a Rav a particular question, and if it's a few minutes before he's going to shir, so his head is in Baba Kama. I'm going to ask him a question on, like, what bracha do you make on this? And his head is completely in the sugi in Baba Kama or Gittin. It's not in the right frame of mind. I wonder what it means, though, that if Rebbe were a Gavra, if not for Rebbe being a Gavra Rabba, if he wasn't such a great person, he would be embarrassed. He would give the wrong answer. So I'm wondering, what was the greatness of Rebbe? Right? What do you guys think? What do you think of that? It says, if Rebbe weren't such a, were a great person, if he weren't such a great person, then he could possibly be embarrassed. So I thought one possibility is that. Oh, Shlomo, do you want to answer?
I'm just wondering why this is considered such a separate sugya, the yad versus the guf, since they're both relevant. I mean, this is an extension. So, well, not an extension.
So we're going to.
Scenario from what we had introduced in the Mishnah. Ani extends his hand inside the balabas. Balabas places a loaf of bread in Ani's hand. So this is a variation.
Okay, so we're about to go there. We're about to go to what indeed is the difference. Over here, yeah. So, but I'm not sure if the Rebbe is being a Gavra Rabba. Is that he's so great that even if he's in a different sugya, he was able to get the right answer, or that Gavra Rabba, he wouldn't have been embarrassed even if he would have gotten the wrong answer. I'm not sure, but anyway, yeah. So he says that, but it happens to be, says Rav Chiya, the Rebbe said the right answer anyway, and he's going to support why it's the right answer, and then we're going to get into Shlomo's topic a little bit of the. How we see clearly the difference between the Yad and everything else. Okay, so let's take a look at Rav Chiya's brisa. So he says, would have answered an answer that's not the answer. Hashda miha shapir mashni. But now he answered well. Luck to you. D'tanya, as we know the brisa, haya ta'un ochin amashkin min ba'od yom votzien l'chutz. If somebody was carrying the food or drink when it was still daytime, and then he brought it outside, right? Once it got dark. It's chayiv because it's not like his hand. So over here, this case is a little bit different. It's not the body case, but it's right, but rather that. It's that the Akira was done in the daytime before it was Shabbos. So the Akira wasn't done at that point. And then, it's the same kind of idea. So the Akira is done when it's still day, when it's totally mutter. And now he has the stuff on him. And now it's nighttime. And now so it's Shabbos. And then he does it. So what's the halacha? So we say that the Brisa says, it's chayiv, it's not like a hand. So we see again, this is a support for that distinction. So now we're going to take a closer look at what it is about the hand a little bit. I think the Gemara later on is going to discuss this more about this extension of the hand. But let's take a look at what Abaye says. Omar Abaye, pshitali yado shel adam eina lo kerushas harab melo kerushas hayachid. It's poshut to me that a hand of a person is not like the rishus harabim and it's not like the rishus hayachid. Right, and we're going to explain what exactly that means. Right, kirsusai rabim lo damya miyavu da'ani. I know that a hand is not considered like a rishus harabim based on how we treat the hand of the ani. Right, because the ani is in a rishus harabim, and he sticks his hands in to the house in the rishus yachid. But we don't consider that once his hands are in, we don't consider that a rishus harabim. It's not an extension of rishus harabim. Clearly we don't, right? We say, well, it depends. If someone takes it from him, he takes it from him, it's already in the house. So it's very clear that that's the case. And the reverse we're about to say is also true, right? That it says, now, but also, ki rishus hayachid lo damya miyad de balabayis. Similarly, from the hand of the balabayis, we also see that it's not a rishus hayachid, because it doesn't really matter. If his hands are outside the house, we don't consider it as if it's in the house. Yes, it hasn't had a hanacha outside the house yet, but as long as his hands are sticking outside the house, it's not considered an extension of the person, of his rishus, in regards to this. So, but what Abaye wants to know is something else. Boy Abaye, yado shel adam mahu. What is the status of it? I know it's not Rishus HaRabim. I know it's not Rishus HaYachid. What is the status of his hand. Chateasa ke carmelis. Is it considered like a carmelis? And therefore, there's going to be a special halacha. Mi kanesuha rabbanan lahadure legabe. Oh, lo. And therefore, if it's like a carmelis, is there a kanas? The rabbanan put a kanas. Are you not allowed to draw back the hand or not? Okay, so let's clarify these some of these terms. So a carmelis is a there's Rishus Rabim Shusha Yachid, and there are certain things we're going to learn about which are called Makam Patur. It's a place that's not Rishus Yachid, not Rishus Rabim, and therefore seemingly you'd be able to transfer things from a Makam Patur to Rishus Rabim Shusha Yachid. We're going to discuss one such Makam Patur soon. But there are certain places that were neutral, they were not Rishus Rabim Shusha Yachid, that the Rabbanan came along and created a status called a Carmelis. And they said that's usher mid rabbanan to carry even here. This is, by the way, where what a lot of our streets are considered. Right, the whole heter of Erev is going to come up based on this concept of that there is a gray area that's only usher mid rabbanan to carry in these places, and certain things, certain locations might be too big to be considered a carmelis, and then it's just a rabbin, and this is where you get into all the debates about, you know, an Erev in Brooklyn and things like that, and many other areas where there's so many people, because that's considered a real Rosh Hashanah rabbin. But a lot of our places are really not Rosh Hashanah rabbin, they're called a carmelis. Now the din is
straight from Rosh Hashanah rabbin to Rosh Hashanah yachid. There's no middle space, I mean, in terms of like the law of conservation matter. It's like we're creating this alternate dimensional space that didn't yet exist before that we're squeezing in between Rosh Hashanah Rabbim.
What I'm saying is that the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is actually what you might think is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not necessarily Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Meaning Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not just anywhere that's not in my own house. That's what I'm saying. That we're going to have to redefine that. The Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, there are certain qualifications that are necessary to define Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. For example, perhaps 600,000 people going through there during a day. So there are certain dinim. I don't know them well yet. I mean, it's Hashem, we'll get there together, but that's going to be a Rosh Hashanah, but that's going to be what's defined as a Rosh Hashanah. So it's not just anything that's not there. Now, in our case, in our Mishnah, we were told, okay, this is, don't ask questions, this is Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? That's what we're talking about. So it happens to be Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but not everywhere right outside your house is considered a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And now, in this gray area that doesn't meet the qualifications for Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is Makam Patur, so a lot of that Makam Patur is going to be considered a Carmelis, right? We're going to see also there's certain domains of, like if it's over 10 Tvachim, it's a different domain, and it's different airspace, and that's its own Rishus, and that may be a Makam Patur, so we'll discuss this. Even today we'll start, and throughout the Masechta, but this gray area called the Carmelis is, so that's what we're about to speak about. This is a status that the Rabbanan created, and they made a rule that if you bring something into the Carmelis, you can't bring it out. Right, so your hands in, you cannot draw it out with that thing.
Carmelis more like a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim or Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
Midaraisa, it's a more of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Midaraisa. No, it's not. It's, I guess it's none. I mean, midarabanan. It's like a. I don't know. Even an afkamina between the two.
More things probably. Kids are just Yachid because there's no inherent, there's no Isser Minotaur between transporting between two Rishis Yachid or Rishis Yachid or Rishis Karmelis.
Right.
So, quite a bit from repenting from Altair, the Rabbanan makes no difference. Yeah, agreed.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know what to say. It's Makam Patur, Midarais. It's its own thing.
But you can't pass between Rishis Rabbim and a Karmelis?
Midrabanan, you cannot, yes.
But you could between a Carmelis and a Rosh Hashanah Yachid.
Midrabanan, you cannot.
Or a Carmelis is just its own separate
Chumras of both.
Yeah. Well, we're going to discuss it a little bit more. Right now, the main reason we're discussing it is that we want to mention that this kanas, and that's what we're trying to figure out. So the hand is clearly not Rosh Hashanah, it's not Rosh Hashanah. So now we want to know this. Is the hand considered, did they give a hand a status of a karmelis, right? So let's read it together. Yodo shel adam mahu shetei seket karmelis. Did they make it into a karmelis? Meaning, mi kansua rabbanon lahadure lagabe? Did the rabbanon make a kanas, this penalty, that you're not allowed to bring back the hand, right? Or did they say no? That first, it's something else, but it's a mokum patur, but it's considered a karmelis, not considered a karmelis. So that's what we want to figure out now. So we're going to suggest something. We're going to suggest it's actually a machlokas tanayim, and then we'll have to retract on that. So Tashma, coming here, proof from this brisa. Hayasa yado malea peros vodsia lechutz. Somebody whose hand was full of peros, and then he brought it outside, meaning he was inside, and then his hand came outside. So he has a whole bunch of peros. And tani chada. Asur lahachzira. So one brisa has this case, and it says, you're not allowed to take the hand back. You have to leave it there. But tani idach. Mutter, lachzira. And another brisa says it's mutter to retract with the thing in the hand. So now the Gemara says, my lav b'hal kamifaki, isn't this what they are arguing about? Demar savar kakarmelis damya, umar savar lav kakarmelis damya. Right? It sounds like a perfect demonstration of our question. We wanted to know, is the hand considered like a karmelis or not? Meaning, well, we assume at this point, is it considered like a karmelis and therefore you would not be able to draw your hand back? Or is it not considered like a karmelis and therefore you would be able to draw your hand back? So we have a brisa, someone has these fruits in his hand, he brings them outside, and we say, there's two different brisos. One says he can, one says he cannot. So it looks like this is the machlokas. So we're going to give a whole bunch of resolutions to this. We're going to start with just a couple, and bring in another side case. But then we're going to end up trying several ways to explain the difference of opinion in these two brisos. So first, let's see. So what is what we just got into? We're getting a lot of hakdamos lately. So we say, lo, dekuli alma kakarmelis damya. No, really, everybody says it's like a karmelis. We're going to try both. We're going to try to explain, right? Abaye has a question. Is it like karmelis or is it not like a karmelis? Is a hand considered karmelis or not? And we're going to show how it could be both brisos go in accordance with the opinion that it is a karmelis, or both brisos go in accordance with the opinion that it is not. So it's not really opinion, just the possibility, right? Remember, we're dealing with Abaye's two possibilities, and we're going to see how both brisos can fit under both of those possibilities. So, velo kasha. So really, kuli alma de karmelis damya. Velo kasha, but it's still not a question. Kan lamata me'asara. Kan lamala me'asara. So here is where it's below 10. Over here means 10 tvachim. And here it is where it is above 10 tvachim. Right? So in the first brisa where we say that you can draw it back, right? No, sorry, where you cannot draw it back. So that is where it is under 10 tvachim. His hands were in this lower domain of under 10 tvachim. But so why can you draw it back in the other case? Because that was above 10 tefachim. So if it's above 10 tefachim, it's in this makom patur, so it's not a problem. So really, everybody says it's a karmelis. They say, no, of course a hand is a karmelis, but this is different because it was in a completely different airspace, and therefore you'd be allowed to retract your hand there. So that is the distinction. And really, everybody holds that it's karmelis damya. But if you want, you can also say the following. No, both cases are under 10 tefachim. Meaning, you can't get out of it by saying, oh, it's a completely different reshus, it's over 10 tefachim, it's a different airspace. You can't do that. So we're talking about where it might really be a problem. Vilavka karmelis damya, but nobody holds, none of these two brisos, neither of these two brisos hold that it's like a karmelis. Velokasha. But it's still not a question. Kan mi be'od yom, kan mishechashecha. Here, the two brisos we can explain as follows. One of them is in the day, is where it happened, where he put his hand there in the daytime before Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, and the other is where it was already Shabbos. Okay, so we're going to have to explain that. We're going to choose both sides. So let's first take a look at this. So, look, if it was still day where he put his hand there, lo kinsua rabbanan. The rabbanan didn't make a kanas here. Why would they make a kanas? So what we're already rejecting is has nothing to do with the karmelis. It's just it could be that the rabbanan made an independent. You take a look at Rashi over here. We don't have time to do it now, but we're kind of dropping the yad being a karmelis thing. Let's just focus on this point. Perhaps the rabbanan created a kanas for a yad, right? That for the hand. But why in one brisa do we say that there's a kanas and one not? So he says because this one is maybe od yom when he first put his hand out. It wasn't Shabbos yet, so they're not going to make a kanas from that case. Because he didn't do anything wrong, right? If you put your hand out, put your hand through a different reshus, when it's not yet Shabbos, there's nothing wrong with that. And then someone's loading you up, someone hands something to you, and then it's already Shabbos. So they're not going to say you can't draw your hand back. Why would they make a kanas for him? He didn't do anything wrong. But when it gets dark, if that from after it got dark, that's when he put his hands out. Kinesur Rabbanan. That's when the Rabbanan made a kanas that you can't draw your hand back with that thing. So we explain the two brisos. Wait, hold on. One of them says it's mutter to draw the hand back. The other says it's usher to draw the hand back. He says, well, yeah, because the mutter time is where he put his hand there in the first place during the day. But when it wasn't Shabbos yet. But when he puts his hand there when it's already Shabbos and he shouldn't have done that in the first place because right so then they make it they say right it's asur midrabanan to do it like that even if you're not doing the full akira and hanacha it's asur midrabanan right to even do the akira to put your hands in to try to take something that's asur midrabanan so you did that on Shabbos already so then they make a kanas for you okay but now the Gemara is going to challenge that being the correct application of this distinction. Adraba ipcha mistavra. But on the contrary, the opposite is more logical. To say that, now I know it sounded logically sound, but we're going to demonstrate why it's not logically sound. Mi be'od yom, when it's still day, meaning it's not Shabbos yet, di shandi le lo asi le de chiyuv. If, chiyuv chatos. If it's still day, and let's say he throws it, right? Because his hands are there and he wants to let go of it now, the object. If he put his hands in when there was still day, so what's going to happen? What did he do wrong now? He's not going to have to bring a chatas because he didn't do the full action on Shabbos, right? Meaning, again, if he's a little bit confusing, but if he sticks his hands in the house on Erev Shabbos, and now he wants to take it out. So if he takes it out, if he's going to throw the item down, so he's not going to be chayev achatas, right? Because he didn't do the whole action on Shabbos. He did the akira before Shabbos. So let's say he gets tired and he says, okay, I'm done with this, and just throws it. Throws it so he can put his arms down already, but nothing bad is going to result from this. However, the opposite will be really problematic, right? But so in that case, right? Deisha dile lo asile dechiyav chatos. So liknesu rabbanan. So the rabbanan might make a kanas there, meaning they don't mind making a kanas and saying, okay, you can't move your hands back with this item because. What's going to happen if let's say he ends up getting upset because his hands are there and he's stuck there, so he just throws it down? What's the worst that can happen? It's not going to be an Isser D'Oraisa because it's not going to be Chayav Chatas. However, Mishach Sheicha. But if when it was dark already, it was already Shabbos, and that's when he put his hands in there. And now you say you can't take it out. If they would do that, if they would apply the Kanas in that case, Dishadilei Asibuhul Dechiyav Chatas. But if he gets now, right, not if his hands get so tired that he drops it, but if he's but if he gets frustrated, his hands are getting tired, and he says, okay, that's it, I'm done with this. Now he's going to be high because he did the Akira on Shabbos. Now the Hanukkah is going to be on Shabbos, even if he's because he's upset. But that's but over here now we caused a chilul Shabbos. So you're going to tell me that the Rabbanah made a knas there? It makes more sense that they made the knas in a case where it, where he put his hands there erev Shabbos, because then he's not going to be chayav a chiyav chatas in the end. So that is what we suggest over here. So it seems that the first way we learned the Gemara is a little bit strange. So so we're going to challenge that as well though. Because right, so we'll consider Rabbanan. Umidimlo ka mashnin al hachi. But from the fact that the Gemara didn't say this, meaning the Gemara that gave its original answer, we have to look at this as in different generations. The Adraba Ibcha Mistavra, that no, that's not the Pshat, this is the Pshat, probably came at a later generation. It was reflecting on the previous generation of the Gemara. They said, hey, wait, that doesn't seem logical, the opposite is logical. And now the Gemara reflects. From the fact that the rabbis, the Amoraim, who gave that first, who explained the distinction the first way, did not answer that. They didn't say the way we're saying in the second understanding. Tifshot de Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. We're able to answer the question of Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye had a second question. We'll see you now. Debay Rav Bibi Bar Abaye. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye asked the following question. Hadvik pas betanur hatiru lo lirdosa kodem sheva lidei chiyav chatas. Somebody who sticks bread or dough in an oven, is he permitted to remove the bread before it bakes so that he's not chayav chatas? Olo. So let me just explain this quickly. I know we're running out of time, but there is an this deraisa of baking doesn't take effect until the food is actually baked. To what degree? Okay, we'll discuss. But right, but if meaning if you put it in the oven right away and someone took it out, you don't have a chiyav chatas. Now there's an iser derabanan in removing the dough. So now here's the question. We're in a situation. Let's say you put the dough in the oven. Okay. So once that dough bakes, you're over an iser deraisa and you're chayav achatas. But let's say, if you take it out, you'll save yourself from the iser deraisa, the chil Shabbos deraisa, but you're over the iser derabanan of removing dough from the walls of an oven on Shabbos. So he wants to know, are you allowed to do this? Oh, no. So, this is the big question, and right. So he was in Jordan. So itirulo lerdosa. So do they permit him to do that or not? Itirulo or lo? And now we say tifshot delo itiru. We can see over here because the first way we explained it, the Rabbanan didn't seem to care that someone was going to come to an iser deraisa. Right, by making their kanas when it's mibe od yom and not when it's mechashecha, right? Before we explained, wait, it's logical to say the other way. It seems like the Rabbanan didn't care about imposing a kanas that could result in an iser deraisa. They didn't care about that. They weren't worried about that. So, based on those amoraim who said that, we'd be able to answer tifshot delo hitiru. So you should be able to answer that they did not permit it. They did not permit a person to take out the bread because we don't want you to violate a derabanan, even if it might prevent even if the result might be an iser deraisa in certain cases. But then the Gemara responds, "Hello, Kashan, v'tifshot. No, not necessarily. Maybe you can answer it. And you can say no. Maybe like the second shot that no, we can actually conclude that you are allowed to remove it. We're going to give some more answers and more distinctions we'll have to hold off for now. But we're going to try to evaluate this a little bit more. So definitely do some chazara on this so that when you go in tomorrow, you'll be fresh, have all the pieces. Shakach. Have a good night, everybody.